You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound, get the most trusted Browns news straight from the team to your phone, including insider videos, photos, player news. Browns 2015 rookie class, the minicamp, OTAs. Download the official Browns mobile app for Apple and Android now and stay up to date on your team. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here. We'll bring in our producer, Matt Fontana, and go around the league.
Does Gibbs hit the numbers for this? Do you guys want the numbers?
If you want them, it's your world, Fontana.
Where to go? The Eagles, Sam Bradford, they're talking about contract extensions. Should the Eagles wait to see what Bradford does this season, or do you think they should sign him now? And where do you guys rank Sam Bradford? Is he a top 15 QB?
I believe that you do, in fact, wait on Sam Bradford. He's making a significant paycheck. He's made a lot of money being the number one overall pick in the old collective bargaining agreement with, I believe, $42 million guaranteed. So, I would wait and see. Can this guy play 16 games for me before you pay him $100 million? And there's a significant upside with Sam Bradford and the way he's played, you know, with some, you know, varying talent throughout his career in St. Louis that I feel in Chip Kelly's system, he specifically sought him out via trade. He's got to like what he sees in Sam Bradford if he does end up getting the football. And I know the one thing that you do know is Chip Kelly will scheme guys to produce massive amounts of yards, and if Sam Bradford can grow in that system, he will deserve to get paid and eventually be a top 15 quarterback. But right now, he's on the bubble for me, and he's maybe just fairly outside looking in.
And that's why, to me, you sign him to extension now, because I think the price is only going to go up. You traded for him. You gave up high draft picks for him, so I think you have decided that this is the guy that you want. So I think you sign him to an extension now. It'll be cheaper than if you let him blow up in your system. I don't think he's a top 15 quarterback in the NFL because you just don't know enough. You haven't seen it enough. But in this system, as you pointed out, he has every opportunity to be a top 15 quarterback.
But you just kind of contradicted yourself. You're like, he's not a top 15 quarterback because you haven't seen enough.
But
yet you're going to pay him that kind of money.
They believe he is.
Okay.
I think they must. Otherwise, you don't make that kind of a trade unless you do. But I think his price right now, given the injuries and given everything, is cheaper than if he goes out and plays 16 games and has a season like Foles did, where let's say he comes out and throws 35 touchdowns and 4,000 yards and 5 interceptions.
Yeah.
It's going to cost you a heck of a lot more money.
Yeah, okay.
I believe you're saying as an organization with the trade that, yes, we believe he can be a franchise quarterback. He's never going to be cheaper as a franchise quarterback for you
than right now. Okay, I get that.
Number two.
All right, guys, the Patriots, they brought in pretty much the guy that's made the most money ever being a backup quarterback. That's Matt Flynn. He's going to compete for their backup spot. Obviously,
he stinks.
He's made so much money just, like, duping these teams to
sign
him.
And then cut.
And then he gets cut.
I know Matt Flynn. Matt Flynn was the backup to Aaron Rodgers on the Super Bowl team in 2010, Super Bowl 45. Matt Flynn is a good guy. Matt Flynn, like many quarterbacks, and kind of on the same premise as we talked about with Sam Bradford, that in the right system, given an opportunity, they flourish. And I think that is part of the reason, Fontana, why he's made so much money. When given an opportunity in a system that he started in, started learning in and learned behind the best in the business in Aaron Rodgers, when they were the number one seed and they rested their starters, he blew it up, threw for like 500 yards, 5 touchdowns, whatever it was. And I don't think he's not going to make the team. Jimmy Garoppolo is very clearly the guy behind Tom Brady that would see get the nod first. Matt Flynn is serviceable at best. And he has a little bit of the Matthew Dellavedova fever. Given an opportunity in a small little portion size, you might like what you see out of Matt Flynn, and teams obviously did to sign him like Seattle did, the big money. Matthew Dellavedova, same thing might happen to him this year. Small sample size, tapered off at the end when given too big of an opportunity, but still going to get paid by somebody, hopefully not the Cleveland.
Well, happened with Matt Flynn is he had the one game against Detroit where he set all those records.
Five touchdowns, it would be kind of
like if the only tape you had on Deli was
him,
game two, or game three where he had 20 points or D'd up. And that's it. Then he got exposed. Just like Matt Flynn when Seattle got exposed. He was off that roster. He ends up in Oakland, makes a lot of money.
Charlie Whitehurst exposed beats him out.
Come on. Of Oakland. I think he's terrible, Kenny. Jimmy Garoppolo will start for that team week number one if Tom Brady does not.
These are good. I didn't even have to ask that question.
Number three.
If you were Rex Ryan, who would you start at quarterback in September for the Bills?
Start at quarterback in September. The one thing that Rex Ryan has to do because of all his big talking is back up the hype that is being built up in Buffalo and the opportunity that arises to potentially get up a game or a game and a half or half a game on the New England Patriots in case they do level off and Tom Brady comes back and they go on a great streak and, of course, win the division. So I don't necessarily have a guy. I know it's EJ Manuel and what, Fitzpatrick?
Matt Castle.
Here, either one. EJ Manuel, Matt Castle, I don't care. Whoever is the most serviceable and can not lose them football games to start the season deserves to be the quarterback.
I think it's going to be Matt Castle because EJ Manuel, the reviews continue to be poor on him. But again, if it's close, you would want to have EJ Manuel as the young guy who could hopefully develop into your future. You'd want to give him the nod. I don't know that it's going to be. They've got a lot of weapons there now. Sammy Watkins, Percy Harvin, LeSean McCoy. They are going to have to get it done offensively. It starts with the quarterback. I think ultimately Castle's going to win that out, and EJ Manuel looks like he is going to be a little bit of a bust.
I was just shocked, too. You mentioned that there, Nathan. I'm looking at their depth chart. Robert Woods, Sammy Watkins, Percy Harvin, Charles Clay at tight end, LeSean McCoy, Fred Jackson's still there. Like, their quarterbacks are probably their worst spotted offense.
So,
right,
Fontana,
now.
Let's just go right to question number four.
Let's do it. Number four. It might be this tandem, the best offensive backfield in the NFL.
Yeah, and I think you just rattled off what might be the best offensive backfield beyond the quarterback. That's first and foremost. But with the Buffalo Bills, you know, Percy Harvin, Fred Jackson, Shady McCoy, Charles Clay, very talented, significant payroll there in the backfield. And you hope it pays dividends for that team and can outplay the miscues that they may have at quarterback. And just looking around the league, you look at, I'm trying to think, maybe Philadelphia.
Me, Philly's definitely number one.
Yeah, DeMarco Murray.
Ryan Matthews is now your backup. You got Darren
Ertz.
Sproles.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, exactly. Yep.
That's to me.
There you go.
They have the best backfield in the league. I think in terms of a 1-2 punch, you've got the Murray, Matthews as a runner, Sproles in that receiving. I think they're number one. I think number two is interesting. I think it could end up being the Saints with Mark Ingram, C.J. Spiller, if Mark Ingram plays well. But I think it's actually here in our division. Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard, I think, are as good a 1-2 combo as you have in the league because of the diversity, the complementary skill sets that they provide. You have the great runner and a great pass catcher, change of pace guy there with those two. So, to me, I mean, when you know that if DeMarco Murray went down and Ryan Matthews had to be the guy, you're going to be good. Ryan Matthews has apparently been tearing it up there. He's a good player. When he stays healthy, he's incredibly productive. Plus, you bring in Darren Sproles, who's a great fit for that offense. I think it is definitely the best backfield in the league, and that's what Chip Kelly wanted. And it's amazing to me when you really think about it, right, that we're talking about the best backfield in the NFL being one that got rid of LeSean McCoy in the offseason.
Yeah, they did okay replacing him, didn't they?
They certainly did do a good job of replacing him. All right, that'll do it for us on Around the League. When we come back, final chance to get your calls in, 216-578-0850. Who do you think has the best secondary in the league? I say it's the Browns. I'm coming out and saying it. Pro Football Focus agrees. Who's got the best running backs in the league? 216-578-0850. Hit us up on Twitter at Nathan Zagura, at Matt Wilhelm 35, and at Browns_Daily.